Hey guys, thanks for checking us out here at DFS Karma. All of our podcasts are sponsored by MyBookie. So if you're looking to make some more money and bet on baseball, football, golf, basketball, or anything else, create a free account today by going to www.mybookie.today.
Hey, what's up, Karma Nation? Welcome to the third edition of our new podcast, The Cash Process with Ben Hostler and myself, which is brought to you by our sponsors, MyBookie.today. If you didn't check out our premiere episode of this new segment the last couple weeks, basically this show is all about a cash game strategy for our NFL DFS DraftKings edition. We start off by reviewing last week's plays. We'll kind of talk about what we did right, what we did wrong, and then move on and shift our focus to this upcoming weekend and break down our favorite kind of cash plays. If you find our free content useful, that's right, it's free, go ahead and subscribe to this channel and check out dfskarma.com. All of our analyst content is there. We're actually flipping our website to a new look. It's really fresh. Everything is going to be a lot easier to check out. So give that a look. And we will be doing this every single week. Ben, how was last week, my man? I mean, you know, you and I obviously talk nonstop basically every day. We had an interesting live stream at 11 a.m. like we do every Sunday, where we kind of both knew that we were going to end up going different routes. And just like what happened in week one, we talked about it with everyone that was with us. You can still cash in cash games with a completely different lineup construction. So tell me about what you did right, what you did wrong, anything you would have changed in hindsight, and then ultimately, like, what got you past? Because, I mean, you cash basically everywhere. And again, we had completely different lineups. So tell me about your main lineup on DraftKings last week.
Yeah, I remember I told you on the Sunday morning show that I just felt weird about the week, and I felt there was too many, like, ways to go overall with all the running back value that we had. So I did end up cashing pretty easily on DraftKings, but Latavius Murray really screwed me. And it was weird because, like, I feel like if he was in any other game other than against the Bills and that expected game script, I wouldn't have played him on DraftKings just because his lack of pass catching ability. But I ended up just, you know, getting sucked into that whole situation. And that cost me because it ended up moving me off like Tyler Boyd, someone that was chalk and went off. So I would have ended up scoring more had I just kept what I originally had, but I still cashed, so it doesn't really matter. But I think just my biggest overall mistake was just not playing Corey Clement. I mean, I know he only got 10 points, so he didn't technically, like, beat me, but in not playing Corey Clement, it got me on Latavius Murray, who scored less than Corey Clement. And obviously Corey Clement was pretty much the highest owned player overall in cash games. So if I could go back, I would definitely have just played Clement anyways, even though he didn't kill me. It was just whatever I went to by not playing him is what did me in, but still cash. So not a huge deal.
Hey man, all that matters is what you just said right there. Still cashed, right? And that's why we do these podcasts. That's why we write content. That's why we're in Slack chat talking nonstop every week. I mean, it's a little bit more than a hobby for us. Some people, it's a hobby out there, but this is a full-time grind for us. And I actually did my full lineup review more in a video breakdown. If you guys want to access that, we send out a new Monday evening email where Ben actually writes like 7 to 10 takeaways from the week, just some stats and quick notes and stuff. And then I include like my 7 to 10 minute lineup review video. And I'll tell you what, Ben, we can have some fun on this podcast too. And it's just like, we're really close, you know, and we talked on Sunday, and I actually told you Saturday night, right? I was like, I already know the lineup direction I'm going, right? I mean, I was kind of trolling you, but I was trying to get you to kind of join the dark side with me, right? Was I not? I said, take the Clement free square. I mean, verbatim, how many times did I tell you this? He's going to score 10 to 12 points. Who cares? Use it as the cheat code. I kept using those words in my lineup review video. I often look for players like that really in all DFS sports. I look for the cheat codes to access the higher ceiling players. I feel like a lot of people in DFS in general, especially in, you know, in football, really are just looking at straight floor projections, which is fine and dandy, but I feel like the industry has become sharper and the edge is, you know, not gone away, but I think you just need to really try to outthink people best you can And I tried my hardest to coach Ben into joining the dark side and just stuffing in the Kamara and the Gurley route. And did I not, Ben? You got to admit, I was trying to get you to come on the dark side, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So if you guys want to access that video, you know, you can head to dfskarma.com. It might be on YouTube. I believe Connor's probably posted it there. But I just went into a little mini rant saying, I look back at my, because I had a subpar week two. I think in week two, I brought back only 30%-ish in my head-to-head games. And in week one, it was a huge win for me in week one. And then I'll be honest, man, like week three was probably one of my biggest weeks I've ever had in cash games. I had a 99.2% win rate in all my heads ups. And it really was, I just knew Saturday night, I just had an epiphany that nobody was going to go with the Kamara Gurley route. And the reason that I like doing things like that, I look back in all my notes and my blueprints over the last few years in DFS, I just want studs. And wide receiver in general, you know, is a little bit more volatile. You know, I knew people were going to go the Julio route. It was going to be hard for me to get off of. But at the end of the day, they don't have as much touchdown equity as you think. And I want the guys who are going to be close to the goal line, who not only have rushing touchdown equity upside, but in the passing game as well. I mean, I don't need to sit here and talk about Kamara. We all know how good he is. But Gurley, to me, has like a 4.5K receiver in his body, if that makes sense, you know? So I like to look at him as like the stud running back with also like, you know, call it like an Allen Robinson in his same price point as well. So you kind of get like two players in one. And I think you guys will start to notice that I do that more often than not as the season progresses, especially on DraftKings. And maybe that becomes more of a strategy across the industry as the year progresses. But, you know, I had a huge up this weekend. Gurley was only owned in 10% of all my cash games. And frankly, I hit huge in one of my tournaments. It was another five-figure weekend for me. I am huge in the green this year, and it's been a hell of a start. So it's been about 5 minutes. We briefly talked about last week. Let's turn the page. We are now in week four, Ben. I can't believe we are moving this quickly along, and here we are. I mean, we're kind of getting in the trenches of the season. Now I think, Ben, data becomes a little bit more relevant as far as the way that we'll describe some things. I mean, that's kind of how it is for you, right? We enter into week four-ish, week five. I mean, data points become more relevant. That's kind of how you're breaking things down in your anecdotal decision-making, correct?
Yeah, obviously, the first few weeks are fun just because if you did pay attention throughout the offseason and preseason, I do think that you have an edge because people are still coming around. But it's always good when the data, you know, stabilizes a little bit and, you know, we don't have to factor in that these are just such small sample sizes.
So it's Wednesday morning. We're going to go through this, guys, position by position. Now, this is obviously going to change, but I think the last few weeks have been really helpful. I mean, it's good to get your head in the mindset of, like, where we want to be going into Sunday. And we talked briefly off air right before we got on this podcast. A strategy that Ben and I both like to do, and frankly, I do this in my other season-long DFS sports, such as golf, and it helps me out a lot. I suggest trying this out if you guys don't already do this. I do know some people out there wait until like Saturday and Sunday to make lineups. There's nothing wrong with it at all. I think that's, you know, fine to do that. But a strategy I like to do is I like to really try to make the best cash lineup I can, like early in the week, almost like Monday or Tuesday, and just kind of get my brain, you know, where's my gut telling me without listening to anything, without reading anything, without looking into any data? Because at the end of the day, you know, the cliche is so cliche, but your gut usually is right. And I tend to stick with my lineup construction more often than not doing this stuff. And it was proved to be very successful again in golf this season and again kind of with the start to NFL. So news can change, guys. This is why we do the big podcast breakdown on Thursdays. And then, again, Ben and I hop on the live stream Sunday morning, you know, as injury news comes in. And also, like I said, all of our content is at dfskarma.com. Quarterback this week, Ben. They hit me with it. Where are we looking at? I kind of got a guy already locked in, but where are you looking in your cash game process this week?
Yeah, I think the three guys that jumped out to me right away were Deshaun Watson at 6,300 on DraftKings, Andy Dalton at 5,400 on DraftKings, and then obviously Baker Mayfield at 5,300 on DraftKings. So I think those are the three that I've been looking at early. Watson, I mean, if you look, like he's over the last 2 weeks, 26 and 29 fantasy points per game, and he hasn't looked good in either of those games to me, and he hasn't had a rushing touchdown in either of them either. So if he can like run one in, I think he could have the chance to have a huge game, although the Colts defense is actually not been bad this year. They've played a lot better than we expected coming into the season. Dalton is just, I mean, he's just too cheap. I mean, you played him in cash games week one against the Colts. You know, he's went over, 21 fantasy points the last 2 weeks. Obviously, that's completely fine at his price, but this Falcons defense is just so banged up. I think it's really hard not to consider him at 54. And then, I mean, Baker, obviously everybody watched him on that Thursday night game, had 200 yards passing in pretty much one half, 9.84 points in one half. So I think he would be able to beat value at 5,300. But the thing when it comes to that is, why would you not just pay 100 more for Dalton?
Right. And, you know, obviously we're Clevelanders. I'm rocking the Browns hat. Shout out. I don't know how we went 10 minutes in this podcast without our love and affection for the Mr. Baker Mayfield, the Messiah, a.k.a. He has risen, a.k.a. new Browns are on the verge of basically a new era, man. Like, so exciting here in Cleveland, but we won't get off tangent too much. I love Baker. I just can't go there, I don't think, this week in cash games, you know. You just hit a good point. Like, why not just pay up the extra $100 for the security of a dome game in Atlanta with a shootout with a total of 51 points? You know, Baker's still a rookie. You know, now there's some film out on him. They're traveling to the West Coast, road game. Might be a little trap for some people. And I hate saying it because I want Baker to throw for 3 touchdowns and 300 yards. Believe me, he will be on one of my main GPP lineups. I promise you that. But I agree with you. I mean, right now for me, it's Dalton. I got Dalton locked in. You know, this could change if AJ Green is somehow ruled out, but I just love targeting dome games. You know, as you said, Atlanta's completely torn apart in the mass unit with their defense. And if I'm not mistaken, Ben, they lost somebody else important. I don't have the name in front of me right now. I don't know if you have that as well, but they lost somebody else this week on the defensive side of game, one of their starters in their front seven. So I think they're in a smash spot. And I'm really hoping that, you know, the Sharps will probably play Dalton just because he's at a discount. But I'm kind of hoping that some of the intermediate-type players look at his game log and say, oh, 3 picks, it's Andy Dalton, or 4 picks last week, blah, blah, blah. If you actually dive into it, I was looking back at some of the tape on NFL Rewind Game Pass. Literally 3 of the picks were not his fault. Some tip passes, a couple other things happening, but really only 1 pick was his fault last week. So I'm not worried about the 4 interceptions he threw last week. So absolutely love Dalton. I think he's in the smash spot. And for the savings, I'm 95% sure he'll be in my cash lineup this week. Can't agree with you more on Watson, too. Just really tough with that offensive line road game. But they are in a dome, too, and it's tough. I'm probably going to lean Dalton. Let's go to running back, Ben. I think this is this another interesting dilemma this week. Really, let's just get the monkey out of the room. I mean, you're playing Alvin Kamara basically until Ingram comes back, correct? I mean, I am. I mean, he's won me a shit ton of money this year, so that's my strategy. How about you?
Yeah, it's really tough to fade him while Ingram's out because, I mean, he's basically a number one receiver and also going to get goal line carries. So I think it's just really tough to fade him while Ingram's out, and I believe this is the last game Ingram's out, so do want to take advantage of the usage that we're getting while we can.
So where else are you looking? Are you looking to kind of go with stuffing the top guys with like a Melvin Gordon? I mean, I know we briefly touched on it off air. I mean, that's probably the route I'm going to go. Like I said, it's just I'm sticking with my blueprint for the last few years, and if it burns me, it burns me, but I know more often than not, I will come up top in profit with this strategy. I mean, as of this second, I'm probably stuffing in a Kamara and a Gordon into my cash games this week. Are you on board with Melvin Gordon in a smash spot, theoretically, to the public? But again, I think, Ben, you can give a sharp take on Reuben Foster and gang, who look like are only giving up like 3.6 yards a carry.
Yeah, I definitely think it comes down to Gordon or Barkley for the second running back you would want. I'm not as concerned against the defense just because Gordon's been so involved in the passing game this year as well. So, I mean, if you look 13-7 and 4 targets, he's still going to get passing game usage. And his usage inside, like, the 10-yard line in the red zone is so crazy that I would be completely fine playing him. Barkley, I mean, he's a rookie and he's won over 20 fantasy points in every single game. So you can definitely make the case for him, you know, against New Orleans at home. So I definitely think Kamara and, you know, one of those two would be where I would want to go. I just don't really want to play the running backs like on each team from the same game. So I probably would lean Gordon over Barkley there. And then you honestly just drop down. Gio Bernard got pretty much 100% of the rushing usage for the Bengals last week. You know, got passing game work, and, you know, he looked really good. Nine targets is really good for that price. And, I mean, what is the one thing that we had target the Falcons? The pass catching running back. So I think it's really hard not to use him as well at 6,300.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you don't play a Gio Bernard in cash games this week, I kind of waited to go that route. You're going to lose. He's probably going to be owned, like, if we're talking about like a double up per se, like a big $5 double up on DraftKings, you got to assume, right? He's 75% owned this week. I mean, I just don't understand how you don't put him in lineups. And the reason why I think I'm noticing over time that there's, you know, that 25% gap is because, you know, there's a lot of sharps out there that what they're doing is they're running three lineups, which theoretically can make sense. You know, you cash two, you're still in the profit, and then that way you're kind of hedging against yourself. We've talked about that in the past on podcasts like this, but that's where you'll get some people not owning him, I guess. But I mean, almost like to me, he's going to be a lock button, which almost makes this week pretty chalky in my opinion. It's really going to come down to like the tight end and a couple of the wide receivers. You know, there's a plethora of them in the mid range we'll get to, but for me, you know, I just love the Kamara, Gordon, and Gio, you know, in my flex this week. I think Barkley makes for an interesting play. Like you said, the one concern I have is the Giants do play at a little bit of slower pace than we think. And I'd be interested to see if you are able to touch on that in any of your content this week, Ben. And also on the Saints side of things, because the Saints realize how bad their defense is. Part of their offensive scheme is these short passing routes, not only because Kamara is absolutely amazing and is a stud player, but they're trying to keep their defense off the field. And that's part of this whole, the cash process is like, we're trying to think outside the box, not just going, hey, Kamara is really good, play him. And that's something that almost for me downgrades Barkley just a touch. You know, if I know that the Saints are really going to be in like a control type possession mode of this game, I just think that they want to keep the Giants off the field a little bit more than we think. And like you kind of were mentioning before the podcast started, you know, CJ Beathard, whatever people are going to think otherwise. The fact is, you know, Shanahan or the Niners in general, excuse me, are just going to play at a very fast pace. Correct. I mean, they're top five in pace. That's the offense they like to run. And I think that that kind of plays into the favor in the game script of Melvin Gordon in general. So I'm hoping some people might outthink themselves this week a bit.
Yeah, there are two other guys that I have on my radar. Probably won't end up playing them, but I do think they're interesting. Matt Breida and Kerryon Johnson. So Breida, I mean, he left the game last week, but then came back in. Alfred Morris cannot catch passes. And if you look at last year, when C.J. Beathard was the 49ers quarterback, Carlos Hyde averaged over 8 targets per game. And then when Jimmy G came in, that dipped down to under 4. So Beathard is a guy that checks down a lot. So I think maybe not this week, but just moving forward, Breida is going to be someone that we definitely can consider with the expected targets he should get. And Johnson, I mean, we have to count on the Lions like giving him the work, but at 4,400 against Dallas without Shanley, that could be a fantastic play to me, at least in tournaments. They need to get him the work. I mean, he's clearly the best running back that they have, but the problem is if you put Riddick in the game, you know that they're throwing, and if you put Blunt in the game, you know that they're running. So if you have Kerryon Johnson in the game, the defense isn't going to know because he can run and catch passes. So it's pretty stupid that he hasn't been getting the work, but that picked up on Sunday night, and it should transition into this weekend. 4,400 is just too cheap.
Okay, let's go to wide receiver. I think this is where it's going to make and break people this week because I think running backs are pretty chalk and quarterbacks are kind of going to, you know, standard deviation. They're going to kind of ebb and flow around the same overall projection. So for me, I'm just going to continue the same trend. I completely am aware that Michael Thomas is the GOAT. I can see him being 20-25% owned in cash games this week, Ben. But just correct me if I'm wrong. Again, I know it's early in the week. I don't have all my matchup stuff in front of me. The Jackrabbit, correct, will be shadowing him? Or am I mistaken by that?
Yeah, he probably will. But I just think with Thomas, I don't think it matters at all. But if you're spending up at running back like we just talked about, you're not going to be able to fit Michael Thomas in.
Right. And that's kind of like where I wanted to go with this. I don't want to say it's a mistake to play Michael Thomas. It's just, get the guys that have that rushing equity and upside and have the pass catching ability too. Like, pay for those guys. You can't pay for them all. I mean, there's a salary cap. So, you know, Michael Thomas is great and he's probably going to score 25 points, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be like that every week. I mean, he's on an absurd run. You know, shout out to all Halo players out there back in the day. He's on a running riot right now. But I don't think that's going to last, just the law averages. So clearly a great play of the week, but I just feel like the Jackrabbit's a little bit better than people think. You know, he did a pretty good job on Hopkins last week too, as well. I'm not even going to touch Odell Beckham. I think he's another great play for GPP purposes, but you know, for me, like one of the standouts of the week, Ben, and I'll just ping it right back to you, but Sterling Shepard, I feel like you have to lock in the lineups this week. And if, I don't know if that's just an early week sharp edge or it might be complete chalk by the end of the week, but just talk to me about Sterling Shepard, because I feel like watching that game last week, it continues to be that you need to attack the Saints in the middle of the field. And, you know, basically they have Lattimore, who is probably just going to shadow Odell, and they're hurt, right? I mean, they're beat up elsewhere. I think with no Ingram this week, I want all the Sterling Shepard shares in the world in cash games.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the same thing last week with the Falcons where, you know, Marshawn Lattimore was on Julio Jones for majority of the game. And, you know, Calvin Ridley went absolutely nuts. And without Evan Ingram, you know, playing, Shepard's target should increase a little bit. He had 7 targets last week. And he's going to have the, you know, the more positive matchup between him and Odell Beckham. So I think for 4,900, that's a really strong cash play. We did skip over Will Fuller. I know he's 6,800, but I still think Fuller is going to be in play for me against the Colts, just because we're so many people are accustomed to him just being like a boom or bust, like needs a long touchdown guy. Like he has 9 and 11 targets through 2 games, and we weren't really accustomed to him getting that workload last week or last year. And I just think, you know, he's really good to be getting those amount of targets. So the price isn't great, but I still think he's in play for me.
Will Fuller is literally your guy. Like,
I know
you love him.
I know.
I do like some Will Fuller though, but probably won't go in there in cash games. So again, we talked about mid-tier. This is why I think this week, if you guys are heavy volume players out there, I know we have some people out there that are extremely heavy volume players, and thank you for listening. We appreciate it. I think this is going to be a very chalky week. this is just my opinion. I could be wrong. I think I said that last week, and then I was just surprised at the route that people went. But everybody's going to pay down in this mid-tier range. And again, there's you just can't pay for everybody, but, you know, again, Tyler Boyd, like, dude, he's going to be matched up with Poole. You know, let's just act like AJ Green's in the game right now, because that to me, that helps Tyler Boyd. He's in the slot. We talked last week on the big podcast about attacking Atlanta in the slot game. Brian Poole, I think right now, is literally ranked second worst according to Pro Football Focus. He's getting absolutely abused in the slot. And Tyler Boyd's running a ton of those crossing routes. He just looks like a natural fit, and he's literally in every snap passing route for Andy Dalton, and obviously had a breakout game last week. I'm sure, Ben, you're a little salty you pivoted off him, but like everyone's gonna play him this week. You know what I mean? Like he's a great play this week. And I almost like hate saying it because I hate looking like the guy that goes back to the guy that went off. I mean, yeah, I had him last week, but he's almost like in a better matchup this week.
Yeah, the matchup is really strong for him. If AJ Green plays, like you said, playing in the slot against Brian Poole. So I just think it's really tough not to play him at 4,600 when, I mean, he was chalk last week and went off, so you know people are going to play him again.
So then, Ben, talk to me about, again, I don't want to be that guy, but, like, again, Calvin Ridley, only 4,900. He's got another good matchup, and, of course, we saw what he did last week. That's the ultimate recency bias, which I'm telling you, I do not want to go this route, but I just feel like it's like, huh, if I'm going Dalton Boyd, the dome game, I like the setup. Geo's already in it. Like, I feel like I need some exposure to Atlanta side if I don't have it with the Julios of the world. Like, Ridley just, like, is a natural fit in my early build, I feel like. And that could be point chasing. Talk to me about Ridley.
Yeah, I don't think I want to play him, but like you said, it's always nice to get correlation because as the way we're talking right now, we would have 3 Bengals in our lineup, so definitely would want someone from Atlanta to run that back with. And I mean, Matt Ryan has obviously looked for him. I mean, he has, you know, only, you know, he scored 3 touchdowns on 8 targets last week, but, you know, he had 5 the week before. So the usage, you know, I would project him for probably that 7 to 9 target range again. And I mean, Vegas thinks it's going to be a shootout. I mean, the total rose to from 48 to 51. So I definitely think that you would want someone on Atlanta to bring you back with for sure.
Well, let's talk about a couple other receivers because I think you can really get tricky. Like, again, I don't know for sure if I'm going to fall on like those type of guys in specific, but I think they're heavily in consideration. Here's a guy that I love this week, and I talked about it in Slack chat yesterday, like something I like to do before I listen to anything, any other podcast, you know, read into any content, really dive into a lot of research, is simply look at some of the grades that are coming out in some of these players and some of the matchups. And I'll tell you what, one of my favorite players of the entire slate, and I'm gonna try really hard to get him in my cash games. I just, again, it's early. I got to wait in some news. Allen Robinson sticks out to me like a sore thumb, and he's priced at 5,900. I don't want to say it's expensive, but again, we just talked about some of the other guys that are a little bit cheaper, which is always, you know, nice for salary relief. But dude, Tampa Bay, you can just abuse this team in the slot. You know, I know it's Mitch Trubisky, but watching, I watched that Chicago game live, you know, play by play in the second half last week, and I needed A-Rob to just go ham, and he got all the targets in the world. He's getting the market share, he's getting the usage. He was open for a 75-yard bomb that literally could have won me like six figures. Didn't turn out, you know, ball got tipped, but this guy is getting all the looks, and he's going to be in the slot. Like, where you at with Allen Robinson this week?
Yeah, I love that play. I mean, I played him in cash last week, and like you said, he got missed for that long touchdown, but I mean, Juju, Michael Thomas, Nelson Agholor, like these guys have had huge games against the Bucs in the slot already. And Robinson should, I mean, he's only playing there like around 30% of the time right now, but Anthony Miller did go down and will miss this game. So that should increase his time there a little bit more. And I mean, if you can get up to 5,900, I would be fine with that. I don't know. There's a couple other good plays in this range. Like Tyler Lockett is someone I was looking at. I mean, the game isn't super attractive, but he's effectively taking over Baldwin's role in this offense. And I mean, seven targets 2 weeks ago, six last week. He caught the long touchdown against Dallas. And I mean, he should at least be able to avoid Peterson, you know, somewhat if he moves into the slot. So I think at his salary, you know, 5,100, it's somewhat interesting. I don't know. I think I would rather get up to Robinson, but 5,100 isn't too bad either.
You've been on Lockett every week, and all he does is hit 3.5x.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I mean, it's really a great call week after week. Real quick before we move to tight end, I just want to point this guy out because he is in my circle highlighted matchup. I don't think a lot of people are going to be on this guy, which is, makes it really interesting for a GPP play. But I'll tell you what, if you love your lineup construction this week and you're just like stuck in like the 4,500 range and below per se, I think people are going to go to Mike Williams, and I don't see that there's anything wrong with it. I just, again, for me, it's like I really need to marinate more and more on the game script. He's getting the targets and all that jazz. But dude, Quincy Enunwa, I mean, the guy is like second in the NFL essentially in target rate and market share, and he's 4,300. And if you actually look into the numbers, the way the teams are attacking the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the slot. I mean, it's very evident. And Quincy is the blankie for Sam Darnold. So I think he's an absolutely stud play this week. You know, I think his touchdown equity goes down playing against the Jaguars. But to me, he's cash playable this week.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, he's getting all the looks from Darnold. I mean, his market share with Darnold at quarterback is insane. And if you look, like the Jets team total did move up a little bit. I mean, it's not huge. It's still 15.5 points, but they opened at 14.5. So their total did rise a little bit.
Cool. I think we did a good job in receiver because, you know, it really is. There's like a pool of like 7 to 8 guys that you really need to marinate on. Again, guys, I just think early in the week here, unless major news comes out, just fade the top guys, you know, the wide receivers, the price points. I just feel like this is a week again, yet again. I'll do this most weeks, but pay down receiver. Tight end is very, very interesting. I got to tell you, Ben, I'm probably literally punting just the way my early lineup construction is coming out. I'm totally okay with, and I know this is going to be a quote unquote, you know, hot take or whatever, but like, I'm not opposed to playing like Austin Hooper and Cash games. I actually mentioned it last week and I got a little bit scared, a little bit nervous, and I went to the Ebron route when the news dropped. He essentially scored the same amount of points. And by the way, we told everybody on the live stream, don't even touch Ebron and GPPs because you know what's going to happen. And of course it did. The guy dropped like 9 touchdown passes, but you know, Rob Gronkowski, we don't need to talk about it. Like, he actually does have an amazing matchup. Like, Jared Cook dropped, well, essentially got tackled on the 1 yard line twice, which was really tilting in one of my main GPPs. But if you got the money, whatever, and you want to go that route, I just never really pay up for tight end unless it's weird circumstances. But guys that I really like this week, I love Jared Cook. I hate saying it because it's against my Browns, but dude, we know, Ben, we know firsthand. the way that the Browns scheme this team is they want to give those plays up. That's what their scheme is. They want to attack. They want to bring pressure. They want to cause havoc. They want to create turnovers. And then they're going to drop Peppers 90 yards back because as much as we rag on them for it, it's not the worst idea in the world when you have elite playmakers on defense because you just need somebody back there not giving up, you know, the long ball. And you got to give something up, you know, when you're attacking quarterbacks. Jared Cook, in my opinion, probably is one of the safest plays on the slate. What are your early thoughts at tight end this week?
Yeah, my first look was, like you mentioned, Jared Cook at 4,100. I mean, he's been getting targets. Didn't he get a touchdown callback last week as well?
Yeah.
Tilting. Yeah, and I mean, you can definitely, you know, target tight ends against the Browns. Trey Burton, if you don't play Robinson, I think is interesting. This is another guy that will play in the slot for the Bears, and, you know, he already has one touchdown, so I think you could do that at 3,900. If Doyle's out, though, I'll probably just play Ebron again. I mean, I know he let us down, relatively speaking, but he still had 11 targets, and three of those were in the end zone, and like you said, he dropped like pretty much 2 to 3 touchdown passes. So I'll probably just play Ebron if Doyle's out again, but any of those other two guys I named, I think are fine in cash.
Well, that, I think that about wraps it up, man. I think we did a good job handling everything. Defense, again, I think it's so early in the week. We'll need to punt on some of this stuff. I just prefer punting on defense. You know, I'll probably take one of the cheap guys. We'll talk about it in Slack chat this week. We'll talk about it on the live stream Sunday. Again, you can access all of our content at dfskarma.com. You can sign up to any of our products, which I think there's still a discount on. You can find under the NFL tab. The new website basically has launched as we speak. It's happening right now. It's pretty cool. It's a lot easier and navigable, if that's a word. So check that out, guys. We appreciate it. We're doing a lot of hard work behind the scenes. And you can talk to Ben, myself, and all the other Karma analysts basically 24/7. We're there. We're grinding for all y'all. To create a good product in Slack chat so you can access that product as well. And thank you to our sponsors at mybookie.today where we do our betting at. So thanks again, guys. Good luck this week, and we will talk to you next week.